Welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, and this is listener-supported KTOO. It's Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. Gwyneth Chi-Hawa for joining the conversation. On today's show, Fubao is here, and it's Special Olympics bowling season. We'll have a chat with him and get fired up. We'll have a sneak peek and information on the upcoming public safety forum being put on by the Juno Career Firefighters. And we'll have our monthly check-in and find out about events from the Juno Public Library. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha ani kak, gun chish.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Special Olympics Alaska exists to provide year-round sports training and athletic competition in a variety of Olympic-type sports for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. They provide continuing opportunities for athletes to develop physical fitness, to demonstrate courage, to experience joy, and to participate in a sharing of gifts, skills, and friendships with their family, other Special Olympics athletes, and the community. And now, bowling season is upon us. And athlete Fubao is here to get us fired up about it, along with Claire, otherwise known as Fubao's mom. Joining us all the way from New Jersey via Zoom. How are you both today? How's it going?
Fine. Thank you. Thank you for having us on. This is really important for us to talk about this stuff.
Of course, absolutely. We want to talk about the actual bowling, but we also are going to be talking a little bit about volunteers and that volunteers are needed. And we'll get into all the dates and stuff about what's coming up and when and all of that. But first of all, let's talk about, like, I think the last time you were here, Fubao, we were about to do the torch run, right? How did that end up going?
I mean, it was really a great turnout, Boston. Thank you for having us on for that. It was a great turnout.
Yeah, that was amazing. It was the best, the highest fundraising event they've had in Juneau. So everyone was very excited and thought that, you know, everyone that was getting the word out really helped encourage people, and they did a great job with fundraising.
That's awesome.
And it was fun, too.
And what's that?
Had fun too.
Oh, and of course, the fun is the biggest. That's the best part. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about bowling. Fubao, when did you get started in bowling?
11 days ago. 11 years ago.
Oh, 11 years. Okay, I was going to say, maybe you just started. But okay, so 11 years ago, you started bowling. I mean, if you started 11 days ago, that would be fine too. But 11 years ago is great. And what do you like about bowling? What is it that's cool about bowling?
So I really, the big thing I like about bowling is having fun and meet new people.
Yeah, meeting new people. I love that. I've been bowling since I was a kid as well. And I just think it's one of those games that's, you know, you're never going to get a perfect score. And you just try to improve yourself each time that you go out and do it. And part of the fun is just, you know, having a great time with your friends and kind of seeing, you know, who can, and rooting for that strike, right? Like that's the thing you want to get is those strikes.
Yes, and also I want to get everybody fired up today as much. We need more volunteers this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I know we need to talk about that a little bit. So I know that, like, so the bowling happens on Sundays. Is that right?
Yes. This past Sunday, they just started this past Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, so, go ahead, Claire.
Yeah, so bowling started the 20th of August, this past Sunday. It's at Penn's Bowling Alley, of course.
Yeah.
And it runs from noon to 2 every Sunday. They're considered bowling practice. And so it goes until October 15th. But they do take a break for Labor Day weekend, so they don't play that Sunday.
Okay, so yeah, so, yeah, yeah. That would be, I think, the 3rd, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so then all that practice is building up to the local games here in Juneau. And the local games are a Saturday and Sunday at the bowling alley on October 21st and 22nd. And that's when they see either individuals or teams who does the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best 2 to 4 teams will be chosen and go to state games in Anchorage, which are in November on the 10th through 12th. So. It's a lot going on.
So are these first few, I guess the first few weeks through September, basically, and the little first part of October, are these training sessions in essence? Is it like getting ready for is the games that are happening in October, the local games, is that just bowling or are there other things that are going to be happening then too?
Yes, just bowling.
Okay, so we're concentrating on bowling for the next couple months, and then,
yep.
And then, are you part of a team, Fubao, or do you do both individual and a team?
Individual and a team sometimes, but I'm not going to stages too.
Oh, you can't go.
Yeah, it's pretty intensive weekend, and yeah, so he'll do the practices and go to some of the local games as well.
Awesome.
And again, that's on Sundays at Pins from noon till 2. Except, the local games are longer, but
right.
In the past, they've had funding to support 2 teams to go to Anchorage, but the fundraising's been so great this past year, they can't afford 4 teams. But that will depend on if they have enough volunteers to help go as escorts.
Right. Okay. So the participants, there's probably more than enough participants to be able to make that happen. But one of the things you wanted to do today was have Fubao fire us up to volunteer, right?
Yeah, that gets everybody fired up. And as I really feel like the big thing I learned from that meeting was to urge everybody to get out and volunteer because we need to volunteer instead.
So what
and
do
you
the,
don't have to know oh. how to bowl even, to be a volunteer.
Okay, so you don't need any bowling experience. So what kind of things will the volunteers do? What kind of things do they need to help with?
Sure, I could talk about that. Yeah. There's a ramp assistant and they assist athletes with a bowling ramp. Some athletes, maybe they have a wheelchair or some type of disability that they don't, bowl the traditional style. So they actually have a ramp. So they would, you get paired up with a bowler for the season and assist them with the ramp. And, of course, Special Olympics provides training. They give you rules and they, we really encourage people if they would like to help in that fashion, that would be great. The other type of volunteer is called a lane monitor, and the volunteer is assigned to a pair of lanes, and then they watch for lane malfunctions. Sometimes balls get stuck, or if there's some problem that the score machine has a problem, they could help write down scores. And again, bowling experience is not required, and it's fun. You'll meet athletes. You'll probably recognize some of them from the community, from places you shop, places you recreate. And then also there's a lot of adults there that are either parents or support staff. So it's just it's a fun time. You get to meet new people or reconnect with folks too. And you get to help the athletes and support them with their interests in being a bowler.
Absolutely. And the commitment is, it seems, it's not that heavy of a commitment. It's a few hours a week for a couple months and you're really doing a great thing to help out the Special Olympics and the bowling season that's happening. And how do people find out? What's the best way to go about finding out about that? How to volunteer?
Yes, exactly. So there's an email I'll give out, and it's Juno@SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org. Again, Juno@SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org. Or you can call Eddie at our office. He's at 907-222-7625, extension 610. But if you call, you can get patched through to Eddie. He's in the Anchorage office. Again, that's 907-222-7625, extension 610. And folks also could just go on the SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org website if they want to find out more about, you know, maybe they're an athlete, maybe they have a family member or a friend, somebody they know that might be interested in being an athlete, or maybe there's somebody that wants to be a volunteer coach, or, you know, just a volunteer in general. So Fubao, what other sports do they do in Juneau later, I mean, you know, in the springtime?
Swimming, basketball.
Yeah, swimming and basketball. They've been hoping, I'll just put a little pitch out there. You know, a lot of athletes would like to do track and field. They've lost their track and field coach. So, you know, so they're always looking folks that might be interested in doing that as well.
Awesome. That's so great. And I'll make sure I put the email and the phone number on the webpage for this episode. So if people want to find that, they can go to juno.kto.org/JunoAfternoon when the website is updated. Or you can go to SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org, as Claire mentioned, and you can probably find out and find the links and do all the things. It sounds like it's going to be so fun. I do want to ask Fubao about another thing. I wanted to hear just a little bit more about the Health Messenger program that you were a part of and how this has taught you to be a spokesperson and advocate. So you're so good at it. You're so good at getting people fired up. So what did you learn in that program?
I learned in that program because recently I want to be an advocate because I want to speak up for people who don't have a voice for themselves.
Wow. That's amazing. That's really cool. Yeah. And are you still, was that a program that you did, or is that a program that you're still a part of?
Still a part of. It's Special Olympics lead it every year. They are looking for new people to be in the program. If anybody in general want to be in the program, just sign up.
Right. So
there's a health messenger training program once a year, as Fubao mentioned. And you know, a lot of the athletes like the kind of the physical and health part of it, where they, you know, learn about exercise, proper hydration, proper nutrition. And Fubao, as you can tell, has gravitated to the spokesperson and advocate part. And they do have meetings throughout the year where they'll talk about upcoming events and see who can volunteer to do, you know, different activities in their community or, you know, otherwise related to Special Olympics.
And also one of the big things I did this past February was Capitol Hill in D.C.
Oh, okay.
So he's invited to represent Alaska Special Olympics, and we went to D.C. and he met with Senators Murkowski and Senator Sullivan. Unfortunately, Peltola was doing his statewide travel in Alaska, so we met with one of her staff members and talked about his activities with Special Olympics and also advocated for their support of Special Olympics.
That's so awesome, Fubao, to be able to go to D.C. and represent for Alaska. That is so cool. I love that.
It's really cool. It's really, really, really cool. I really highly recommend if somebody wants to do that, to just talk to office about signing up for a health mentor program. Your program is led by Joanna.
Yep, it's for Special Olympic athletes. That's an option they can do.
Awesome. Well, you're getting to be a big deal there, Fubao.
Thank you.
I love it. And so bowling started this last Sunday, and they definitely need volunteers. So if you're interested, you can reach out to Juno at SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org or call Eddie at 907-222-7625 or just go to SpecialOlympicsAlaska.org. It's every Sunday at Pins Bowling for a couple of hours from noon to 2. It goes through October 15th. And I'm sure that for the games, the local games, they probably need volunteers for that whole weekend. So maybe if you can't even do the weekly thing, you might be able to help out for just those couple of days in October as they find the teams that will represent Juno at the state games in Anchorage in November. So that's awesome. Fubao, I appreciate you taking the time, and Claire, Fubao's mom, for taking the time out while you're away on the East Coast and joining us from New Jersey to pitch and talk about Special Olympics bowling season, which just started. So thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Can I say something else?
Of course.
We cannot do it without Juno's help. We just cannot do it without Juno's help. We need the help.
Yeah, we need the help. We need the volunteers and we need the help. And that is a very, very important message. So again, thank you, Fubao. Thank you, Claire. Really appreciate you all coming on.
All right. Great to see you again. Thank you.
We're fired up for bowling season.
Woohoo. Go, Juno. Let's pull out.
Let's go. All right. We'll talk to you all soon.
Step in to the savory moment. We love our pets, in part because of the uncensored way they express themselves. The cat with the silken purr, who also just stalks off when the mood strikes with nothing more than a rude tail twitch in place of goodbye. The puppy who wriggles with unchecked joy, but also nips and gnashes in fits of bloodthirsty jealousy. That darting goldfish, so graceful, so glittering, even as it gulps the guppies. Through our pets, we live vicariously, reveling in behaviors we ourselves are too shy or well-mannered to attempt. What if we thought of recipes as a kind of pet, prone to a characteristic set of knacks and quirks? Take a cook's best friend, the souffle. Soufflés are prized for their airy, ethereal quality, puffing up in a golden dome. In the soufflé, we see ourselves rising, but the soufflé has its flip side, sunken, shrunken, and utterly deflated. Okay, how about gnocchi, those Italian potato dumplings boiled like pasta? Our gnocchi selves are chewy, tender, and supple, tossed with butter and Parmesan. On the other hand, who hasn't wound up with homemade gnocchi that are waterlogged, mushy, and best described as slop or even glop? Embrace it all. The highs, the lows, and in-betweens of cooking. And enjoy the bad behavior of your more spirited recipes as if it were your own. Realistically, we're never going to train that goldfish, or a cat for that matter. But our souffle? Have you mastered a difficult recipe? Visit savorymoment.org and email us your story. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Shortroads. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Thank you. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Coming up at the end of September, on the 31st of September at 5 p.m., we'll be downstairs at KTO's TV studio downstairs, is a public safety forum for candidates for this year's municipal election for City Assembly. And who that's being put on by and why they're putting it on, we're going to find all that out right now with our guest here live in the studio, 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. It's Sylvia Medeiros. Hi, Sylvia. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. It's so good to have you here today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's find out a little bit about this public safety forum. But first, let's find out about the groups putting it on. There's a couple groups that are working together to make this happen. Tell us a little bit about who, where you're from and who you're working with and all that good stuff.
That's right. So my name is Sylvia Medeiros. I'm a firefighter and an EMT here in Juneau. And I'm represented by our union, which is the International Association of Firefighters. Our local chapter is the L4303. And because we have this municipal election coming up, the local chapter, the L4303, has decided that they'd really like to put forward a public safety forum. And they invited the union that covers JPD and dispatch to join us. And so all together, our union and theirs, the PSEA, which is the Public Safety Employees of Alaska, are putting together this forum for the candidates of the upcoming City Assembly election to discuss issues of public safety.
So it's specifically about these issues of public safety that people will, so that it's open to the public. Will the public ask questions, or do you have like a specific series of questions that you are going to ask them? So there's going to be a moderator?
Yes. So to start off, to answer your question, the public is welcome to come.
Yeah.
Doors will open at 4:45 and the event starts at 5 p.m. And I just wanted to make sure, I just wanted to hop in there and say, this is going to be Thursday on 8:31. So that's coming up next week.
Oh, 8:31.
Yeah. I'm sorry if that got missed.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay. I wondered if it was like, because that would be right before the election.
Yeah
that
no, was pretty good. No, this is coming up next week. We're really excited about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is next Thursday, August 31st.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay,
at 5 p.m.
Great,
doors will open for the public at 4:45. And because it's such a wide field of candidates, there's 14 this year. We're going to keep, we're going to keep it as tight as we can to about an hour and a half. And that means that we won't have time for questions from the public, but we do hope that the public comes in a little bit early and maybe stays a few minutes late just to shake hands, meet the candidates, that kind of thing. And that they use this opportunity to get to know their candidates.
Yeah, I like that this is going to be about like specific areas, right? In terms of like things that are having to do with public safety. What kind of things would that be? Like what kind of things will you all be asking about?
Absolutely. So we have a predetermined set of questions that we're going to send out to the candidates starting tomorrow. So they'll have some time to review it. We don't want any gotcha moments. We want them to be well-educated, really aware of what they're going into next week. And what they're going into next week is just a discussion about the public safety issues that are unique to Juneau, and also that that we're finding are true across the nation. And so those are issues of recruitment and retention. There are issues of local environmental disasters. The recent Yokolup was a real wake-up call for all of us to talk about emergency planning and that kind of thing. So there's discussions from the big to the small and everywhere in between.
I see. I know we have a sort of monthly segment with the Juneau Police Department, and every month I have to ask them about the retention because it was such a big deal. Mm-hmm. Is it the same problem in the firefighters area? Is it hard to find employees in the firefighters?
We do experience some issues with recruitment and retention.
Yeah.
And that's something that we'd really love to see creative solutions for and love to talk to our candidates about.
Yeah.
It's something that we are pretty excited to solve and work on together. And it is something that is pretty similar between JPD, between CCFR, and also with dispatch.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That seems like, it seems like a great idea to sort of ask specifically about those things. And I didn't realize there were so many candidates. That's a lot.
It's really exciting. We really see it as a reflection of the public's interest in local city government. And we really want to support that.
Yeah. Cause I remember the last couple of elections, it was pretty limited in terms of the number of people that were running.
Yeah.
Right?
It has been.
Yeah. So that'll be really good. So they'll each have like probably a little bit of time to do a quick opening statement. And then I don't know if we mentioned who was going to be moderating the.
Absolutely. So the moderator is going to be James Brooks. He's a reporter here in Alaska and he's fantastic. He's moderated before for other similar events. And so he's offered to come in and do this one for us. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah. James works at the Alaska Beacon, which is really great. And that's cool. So that'll be really cool to have a moderator. And then have all the candidates accepted the invitation?
All 14 have RSVP'd. So they'll all be there live and in person to offer their opening statements, to answer a few questions, and then to offer some closing statements. All told, it should be about an hour and a half.
Wow, that is going to be, that's really, I mean, it, especially with, I think it is, what am I saying here? I think the uniqueness of Juneau, right, in terms of especially emergency preparation, because if we don't have the things we need in a timely manner, it's hard to get those things here in a time. It's not like, you know, they're going to, I mean, I guess we do have planes, but it's just still in terms of like when things come up, like we, like the recent events that we had here. What do we do? Like, how do we prep for the future? And
in emergency services, we call that term mutual aid. Okay. Mutual aid is something that's pretty universally available on roaded communities. So down south and a little bit up north, if there's a big fire, if there's a big crisis of any sort where you need backup, you can call. And there are many situations where it's just preordained that people will come in from neighboring towns to give that support.
Right.
And we saw what mutual aid looks like in Southeast Alaska. In Haines a few years ago with that big landslide, it took hours or days to get the local towns nearby to be able to send all their resources in.
Yeah.
And so while in extreme situations, that kind of thing does exist, in general, mutual aid in Juneau does not exist. So we are our own first responders and we're really all we've got for those first hours and first days.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty intense.
And it's something that's really unique about Juneau and unique to a lot of the small towns in this area.
Yeah, I guess Southeast Alaska in general.
Juneau is one of the biggest hubs. And so it's hard. It's hard to call on your neighbors when your neighbors are a few hours away.
Right. Did the firefighters ever get do the Juneau firefighters ever get called out to other areas in Southeast to help out?
We did have a few who headed out to Haines a little while ago for the landslide, but it's pretty rare. Mutual aid is pretty rare here.
Okay. So I guess I'm wondering, you know, why is it important for the public to show up for this event and listen in? What is the importance of that?
I think a lot of these issues, even the ones that we're talking about right now, are only sort of tangentially something that people are aware of. And so bringing awareness to the unique issues that public safety responders see in Juneau is something that's really important to us. And then we really want to get out the vote. We really value civic engagement. And so the more people that are more educated about the various issues at hand in Juneau, the better.
Yeah, I love that there's this, that this is a specific, because a lot of times at the forum, at the public forums, I know they're doing some more that I think KTO is moderating as well,
there like will
in,
be more.
In October. Yeah. And, you know, they have a limited amount of time. So sometimes you get one question on a topic, right? As opposed to this, which is a very focused hour and a half of we really want to hear about these particular issues and from these candidates for this election. And I think that's really fantastic. Is this something that these two groups have put together before, or is this the first time that this has happened?
This is a first time event, which is part of the reason we're really excited about it.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that we're doing this for the first time is because, as you mentioned, the field of candidates is so large. So normally we'll send out surveys, we'll meet with candidates one-on-one if it's viable. But we figured there's so many of them, there's no way we're going to have time to really sit down with each one of them and do it justice.
Yeah.
And so instead we decided, why not host this public forum so that we could get to know our candidates and that the public could at the same time.
That is, and who, how did this, how did it come up? How did, when did the idea get spurned in somebody? I mean, it had to be somebody's idea to be like, we should do a forum. We should do a forum.
I first heard of this idea a little over a month ago from one of our captains, Noah Jenkins. And it came from a conversation that he was having, I think, with our L4303, our local chapter's president, Travis Wolf. It was their idea, I think, that that there was going to be no logistical way to talk to all 14 candidates and really get to know each one of them. And that, in fact, a way better option, both for us and also for our an aspect of public outreach, getting to know our community, would be to host this for the public as well as for us, so that we can get to know the folks and so the public can get to know the folks that are running this year.
That came that came about pretty fast then, to get it all put together and make it happen.
We have been burning the midnight oil. We've been getting it done.
Get the job done. I love it. That's so good. And so it's next Thursday. It's August 31st. It's at 5 p.m. here at KTOO downstairs. It is going to be live streamed.
It will be live streamed on our socials. You can follow us at IAFFL4303. That's our local 4303. And that's how you'll be able to figure out where to watch live stream if you like. Or you can come in person. The doors will open at 4:45. That's 15 minutes prior. And it is free and open to the public. And seating is available until it's not. So we recommend getting there at door opening.
And give out that the socials again, because one more time.
Absolutely. So our handle is at IAFFL4303. And you can find us on Facebook, and you can also find us on Instagram.
And that's such a unique identifier that I think if you put that into the search fields, you're going to find...
You're going to find us.
you're going to find
our local chapter.
Yeah, you'll find it. You'll find the local chapter. And that'll have some of the details there as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's just great to follow both the firefighters and the police department and follow these organizations and see what's going on. Because they are our public safety. They're our first responders. And so not only do they need the information to be able to vote for their particular candidates, but they also want the public to have this information and henceforth this public forum.
Absolutely.
That is so awesome. Well, Sylvia Medeiros, thank you for coming in and telling us all about that. Is there anything else that any details that we missed? I want to make sure we get everything out there about this.
Just a reminder to register to vote by September 3rd. And then the vote itself is on October 3rd. So it's coming up soon.
It's happening so fast.
Yeah.
So fast. So that, and it also, you know what it is also, Sylvia, sadly, summer is over.
It's coming to a close. I was walking on a trail recently. I saw all the cottonwood was dropping its leaves.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no. It was such a weird summer, too. We had like so much different rain, but then there was like these sunny patches. And it was like, it's just been such a great, it's been a great summer. And I'm sad to see it end. But anyway, thank you for coming in and giving us all the details. Sylvia Medeiros and the Public Safety Forum next Thursday night here at KTO at 5 p.m.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll have our monthly update with the Juno Public Library. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenadie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On a spring day, a fat bumblebee sips nectar from a tall blue cornflower before moving on to a cluster of lupin. This is a western bumblebee, the most common bee in Alaska. She's also a queen. Worker bees don't overwinter in Alaska. The queen emerges in the spring solo and establishes a hive, laying eggs and nurturing the first batch of worker bees that by summer will be busily helping with the hive. Bumblebees do pretty well in Alaska. Fat and furry, they're able to regulate their body temperature, and they tolerate cool weather better than other bees. There are 46 bumblebee species in North America, and 23 species are found in Alaska, including the Arctic bumblebee, Bombus polaris, one of only two bee species found in the Arctic. The western bumblebee is widespread in the western United States and Alaska and is an excellent generalist pollinator, pollinating a wide range of flowers. Over the summer, worker bees gather nectar and pollen, and the queen lays eggs. In late summer and fall, she produces male and female offspring that can reproduce. In the fall, the old queen and the workers die, and some female bees, with the potential to become next year's queens, survive and overwinter, hibernating, and emerging in the spring to start new bumblebee colonies. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Library Magic from The Head and the Heart, which was from a album called The Stinson Beach Sessions, which is a really cool song and was requested by our next guest, Margaret Lukey from the Juno Public Library. How are you, Margaret?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Awesome. And I just wanted to also mention that in that break, we also heard Hooligan, the remix from local artist Air Jazz. Yeah, pretty awesome. So, Margaret, it is kind of like back to school time, right?
Yeah, it sure is. It feels like summer outside, but the kids are back in school.
Yeah, they started like last week,
I think.
Yeah,
they did. Mm-hmm.
So, and you have some specific stuff going on that's related to kind of back to school, right?
We do. Yeah, we've got events coming up that are specifically for families and getting back to school.
Yeah.
And what the library has to offer for you.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff we got?
Yeah. So we've got our normal game day with Platypus Gaming coming up this weekend. So that's Saturday the 27th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Douglas Library. Board games are rated for ages 5 and up. So great. Great way to get out of the house for all those squirrely school-age kids after, you know, a couple of weeks in school. And there, as always, there will be somebody around to help you learn the games, learn how to play the games.
That's great. This weekend?
That's this weekend.
Okay.
This Saturday.
This Saturday. Okay. What time is that at?
1 to 4 p.m.
1 to 4 p.m. And that's at the Mendenhall Library?
Douglas Library.
Douglas Library. Okay.
And you know what? I misspoke. It's always on the last Sunday of the month. I wrote it down wrong on my little sheet of paper.
I was thinking when you said 27th, that's why I wanted to make sure, because the 27th is a Sunday.
It is.
So we got the date right, but we didn't get the day. So it's Sunday the 27th from 1 to 4 at the Douglas Library. And that's also, it's a great place to meet Platypus Gaming because they have a big convention coming up. Mm-hmm. They're one of the first public events in the newly opened and newly renovated Centennial Hall.
Yeah, it's going to be so cool.
So that's going to be really fun. So get your game on this Sunday over at the Douglas Library.
It's a little appetizer for the bigger event in
for
Centennial
sure.
Hall.
I want to go to the big event. I definitely want to make it this year. For sure. Yeah, for sure.
So then we come to our back to school series for families. It's basically like an intro to library services for parents of school age kids, you know, how to search the catalog, what sort of services we have on offer for that are relevant to families with school age kids. It's going to be especially helpful for homeschooling families. Like going over some of the resources, the digital resources that we have available that are really helpful for kids in school. Like we've got a tutor.com access that gives access to live tutors online 24/7. So students can go and like they're really struggling with their math homework. They can get live help from a tutor hired by tutor.com at any time of the day in order to, you know, help them with their pre-calculus or, you know, the things that parents struggle with remembering, but they maybe need help with it like right now. They don't have enough time to like look for a tutor to help them with it more long term.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
So at like a 6 o'clock on a Thursday, I can hop on and there's going to be someone to help me with my math homework.
Yep. They also have, like, you can submit your essay for English class and have them have somebody look over it and give you feedback.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is so awesome. And is this a service that is provided by the library so it doesn't cost anything?
It's free to the public. It is a service provided by the Alaska State Library. And as part of the Alaska Library Network, we have access to this service.
That is so cool. Tutor.com. Is that, are the tutors in Alaska or are they all over?
All over. Yeah.
All over.
Yeah, that's how they're able to provide this service 24/7.
24/7?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully you're not doing your math homework at like 3 in the morning like I used to.
I never did that.
No, never. No,
always had it done by 9 p.m. when I went to bed.
The math homework wasn't the one. It was really the essays that staying up late that working on those essays. Yeah. Oh, man. So it is nice to have somebody be able to do like an eagle eye check on it and make sure because, you know, you might be a little tired after staying up writing it. And you can be like, hey, can you look this over real quick?
Totally.
That is really cool. I have a question about this back to school series.
Yeah.
So it includes the library services and resources for families. Now, I think I've asked you this before, but do we still use the Dewey Decimal System or is that gone?
We do still use the Dewey Decimal System. For good or ill, we still use the Dewey Decimal System.
And that's something that the kids would learn how to use then, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because you're not doing the like the pull the drawer out and look at the library card things that way, but you're looking it up on the computer, but you're still getting the number and then you got to go find it in the stack, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's also, you know, if you know the general area that you're looking in. So say you want books on, I helped somebody today who was interested in Noam Chomsky and linguistics. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, maybe it is under linguistics or maybe it's under philosophy, which would be totally two completely different areas of the Dewey Decimal System. So what we did was we looked first under linguistics, which is in the 400s, 410s, and that's where we found Noam Chomsky. And he was able, this person that I helped at the library today was able to look around and browse the other related titles that that touched on the same topics because we put them all kind of in the same area next to each other.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I know that the other thing that is available now, because that's like in person, right? But then the other thing that would probably be available for students or for anybody in the public is you can get sort of like digital checkout, right? Of books and things. So you can you can access reference materials or full novel, whatever you need, right? And because then that also has access to the state library system as probably well as like the national system where you can maybe be able to get something that isn't available.
Sure. So we have a few different ways to access ebooks and audiobooks through subscription services that we provide and also subscription services through the state library. And all of that will be covered. You can ask the librarian all of those questions during this really valuable series for parents, parents and students in school these days.
That's great, especially like you said, for the kids who are homeschooling or you know, just even going
need a
to
little bit extra.
Yeah, even because the parents may not resources. Know everything. So let's make sure we get all the dates out for these because they're different ones, different days, different times at the different libraries. So why don't you go run that down for us?
Yeah. So at the Douglas Library on Tuesday, September 5th at 5:30 p.m. We'll be at the Valley Library on Saturday, September 23rd at 2 p.m. And we'll be at the Downtown Library on Wednesday, September 27th at 11 a.m. And this series doesn't build on itself, so you can go to all of them if you want to tour all three of the libraries, but you don't have to. We'll cover most of them. We'll cover all of the material.
Same material will kind of be the same at the different ones. But if you're new to, you know, if you're bringing a kid into school for the first time, 5, 6 years old, whatever it is these days, and they haven't been to the library, then this is a great way to get acquainted with the different services that are available.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we've got going on for our back to school series. And then we've also got, a drop-in chess night at the Douglas Library on Wednesday, September 6th from 5 to 7:45 p.m. We want to make sure that we're out of there before 8 o'clock when,
that's when it closes.
Close the library. No, no.
No, like, oh, I almost got checkmate. Yeah. Give me 5 more minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Games must be completed by 15 minutes before.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So we'll be at the Douglas Library. Come on down. Bring your chessboard if you can, but we'll have some available if you don't have one. And all ages, all abilities are welcome.
That's awesome.
Stop by.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. And so our last question, you got any summer beach reads, anything that we should be reading right now, or anything good book recommendation?
Yeah. So I am really enjoying this book called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. It's by an author named Oliver Berkman. It's nonfiction. And the concept is time management, but thinking about your whole life rather than thinking about like how to get through the tasks of the day to day. How can I, rather than looking at time through, how can I optimize the amount of time that I spend at each task so that I can like get through more and more and more? He looks at the bigger picture. How do we think about time in a way that makes us feel like we are using it well for the short amount that we have during our 4,000 weeks? That's about how many weeks people live on average.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great recommendation. Margaret Lukey from the Juno Public Library. You can always find out more by going to juno.org/library. We've got the Platypus Gaming Day coming up this Sunday, and then also the Back to School series where you can learn about library services and resources for families with school-age children, especially homeschool families. And that's Douglas Library on September 5th, Valley Library on Saturday, September 23rd at 2 p.m., and the Downtown Library Wednesday, September 27th at 11 a.m. Margaret, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for coming in and telling us all that. Oh, and Chess Day, which is the 6th of September at the Douglas Library. Mm-hmm. So thanks again for coming in. We'll see you next month.
Thanks.
Absolutely. We'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's show, we'll check in with KTOO reporter Katie Anastas about her recent reporting in Juno, and we'll preview the annual food festival and farmers market with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, give us feedback, provide some ideas, or subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show yourself. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.